Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. One of these days we'll be on time. I don't know. It's either tech breakdowns or whatever it is, but one of these days we'll be on time. All right. Today is a great day. It's a special episode. So, you know, hopefully you heard the episode yesterday where we announced it, but we've got a really great guest. And especially for us Amazon sellers that are trying to break through into the e-com world, we're going to be talking about scaling your business quickly to 7 to 8 figures. And our guest today has a really cool free event for scaling. Well, it's actually called Scaling Secrets. It's the Scaling Secrets Summit, and it's on the 19th to the 20th. 21st of April. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about that as well. And the keyword here is free. So anyways, let's get Kelsey on.
Hey,
welcome. The man. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. All right. Tell people what they got to do.
All right. So we got to smash those like buttons, share it to your friends. If you're watching from YouTube, hit that little subscribe button as well as the little bell off to the side. We love the support. And I also want to mention that we have two contests happening right now. One is for the Beard Nation group in our Facebook group. That's only for that. They got to post a picture, do a hashtag. All the instructions are in the Facebook group. So I highly recommend going over there. We're looking forward to all those beard pictures. And the second contest is for everyone else. That's a chance to win an AirPod Pro or a pair of AirPod Pros. I'll put the link here, but you can also find it on the Instagram profile for Norm. So just at Norm Farrar on Instagram, and you'll be able to find the contest link in the bio.
So. All right. Fantastic. All right. And hi, Marsha. I can't wait to see you in a beard. So we got to get that post.
I think she did already. Yeah.
Did she? I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got to check that out. All right. So we have a giveaway today. And this is a special giveaway that that just came out. We just were talking about it before we came on the air. And I'm going to give away a free consultation with me about any product. So if you want to talk about anything, ask me anything for 30 minutes. And that's just hashtag I want Norm. If you tag two people, then you'll be entered twice. So that's what we're going to do. And it's a double whammy. Because this is for where we're going to be talking to. We're going to show you and walk you through how to sign up for this free event for and how to build your e-com side of the business. Not so much Amazon, but this is stuff we got to know. All right. So if you have any questions, please put them over into the column. We'll get to them before. Hopefully we get to them all before the end of the podcast. And now I think that's it. You can go. There we go. So it's time to sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. All right. Our guest.
Hello, hello. Josh. Thanks for having me.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing great. You know, I got to tell you, I am very excited about this conference that you have, this summit. You got some great, great speakers. And, you know, one of the thing about the speakers, like we talk about this on the podcast a lot, learning Amazon and optimizing your business is one thing, mm-hmm. but learning how to become an online seller is a whole other, you know, learning e-com. And that's where it happens. For you, for example, a lot of your success has come from strictly e-com, not Amazon, right?
No, I haven't done anything on Amazon, actually. So we do have some brands that I co-own in-house that are on Amazon, but this is like my first real hands-on experience with Amazon.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't a Lamborghini show, but you've been very, very successful. Like you're one of the, probably one of the top e-com guys out there.
I appreciate it. I'm very humble about it, but I've been doing this for you know, quite some time, since early 2013. And, you know, I've been very blessed to have great mentors along the way that have, you know, taught me, you know, that have given me support over the years. You know, I've also, you know, built a great, you know, network of friends that some of them are, you know, ultra successful. Like, you know, for example, my friend, Greg S. Reed, who is keynoting the upcoming summit. You know, he's the author of the Think and Grow Rich series. And he's published like 20 plus books. He's a movie producer. He's got this long list of accolades, you know, and I just feel very, very fortunate to have people like Greg or some of the other speakers or yourself, you know, in my network to you know, to help me and to support me and to, you know, exchange value. So, you know, I attribute all that to all the success that I've had over the years.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's talk a little bit about your background. So where did it start? And let's talk about, I mean, you have this, the ARM 5 formula. You talked mm-hmm. about it before. So let's just talk a little bit about Josh Marsden.
Sure. What do you want to know?
Just how you got into it and what you're doing now.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds great. Well, you know, it's, so this is what happened, back in, 2012, early 2012, it goes all the way back. Mm-hmm. I was at a corporate company here in Phoenix, Arizona. I was fairly successful. I was doing fairly well. I was making just under six figures a year. I was winning awards and, you know, things were good. And, but the company wasn't really growing. There was lots of changes because of regulations in the private education industry. It was a company in the private education sector. And I wasn't really seeing opportunities open up to move up, because I'm all about moving up, get, you know, challenges and also accomplishing more, making more money, you know, things like that. And back then there wasn't a lot of that happening because of what was going on in the industry. So I made a calculated risk, and I went over to a software company, which a lot of people know in the online space, called Infusionsoft. And I went to there in early 2012, and I stepped down from being like a manager at my former career to a sales rep, and went over there. But the compensation was very similar, and, you know, it showed a lot of promise. And I was at Infusionsoft throughout 2012, and I was doing my job. I was 108% to quota for the year. And at the end of the year, though, my manager let me go, and he said it was performance, but honestly, I think what it came down to was I just didn't follow him. Like, I didn't like what he was doing as a manager. And it's because, you know, I'm a former manager. So, like, and I've been very successful in my previous career as a manager. So I know what it takes to lead a team to success. And I mean, and out of respect for him, he's had success too. We just have different mindsets on how to lead and what to do with a team. And, you know, and there was definitely some friction there that was coming out leading up to that. And so he let me go. And then, you know, I went and I had a job opportunity within 24 hours through my network. But then I also kept looking for other opportunities. And during this time, I took it upon myself to become a freelancer and to sell Infusionsoft services and provide those services. And I felt like I could do that at the time, because in 2012, I learned Infusionsoft while I was selling it. It wasn't required. A lot of sales reps don't know Infusionsoft, probably still today, even though they've been in Infusionsoft for years. But I have a knack for tech and things like that. You know, I've been building computers since I was 18. You know, I did programming in college, you know, things like that. So I had a knack for that. So I learned Infusionsoft very quickly, and I was able to sell it. And so I was able to build a small clientele right after I left Infusionsoft. But then I started at another company. And I started at this company, you know, I won't name all these companies, but this company, they early on, I told them when I started at that company that I needed to pick up my son from preschool. He was 3 at the time. He's now 12. But I need to pick him up from preschool at 5:30. So I have to leave at 5 p.m. a few times a week. And they gave me a really hard time about it. And they were like, I don't know if that's going to fly. I don't know, think that's going to work out. And then I kind of strung it along a little bit. And then 3 weeks into it, they basically gave me an ultimatum, and they said, hey, you know, for you to stay here, you've got to, you know, talk to your son's mother. You have to change your schedule with your son and your commitment there. And I was like, all right, well, let me give me the weekend. Let me figure it out. And honestly, what I was saying was, give me the weekend, let me make my decision on whether I'm going to stay or I'm going to go, you know, because I needed to weigh everything out. In my heart, I knew what the decision was. Like, I knew that I wanted to be there for my son, but I think I had to logically also be okay with it, because there's obviously some fear there, because I had never, ever owned a business. I had never provided my own income, you know, prior to that. You know, I was always, you know, working in corporate or in the military or, you know, things like that. So that weekend, I sat down and I did something super simple, but I basically picked up a piece of paper, did a column, like two column graph, and then there was like three rows, and you know, the top two were, yeah, this is the company, this is me staying at that company, benefits, weaknesses, you know, and I basically just compared and contrasted if I were to stay at the company versus start my own company and really, really dive into it. And looking at it that way allowed me to see that, yes, I want to be there for my son. I know that I should just say, see you later. I don't want to be with you anymore, you know, at that company. But looking at that graph and just really logically going through everything, I had nothing to lose. Like it eliminated my fear, because I knew that even if things didn't work out, I was ultra confident it would, but even if it didn't, I was working on my MBA. My MBA was going to be done in a few months. You know, I had a good, you know, background that was successful as well. I had a great resume. So, I mean, if I had to, I could get another job. So I was like, you know, I'm going to do it. Let's dive in. And so that's how I got started. And then, you know, from that point on, I just, the first year was basically just a lot of figuring it out and just providing services and being in a bubble and not networking and just being alone. But I was enjoying the freedom, and, you know, I was doing like lots of boxing, lots of Muay Thai at the time. But it was like a year into it is when I really started to really, really get after it and blossom, because I started to really work on my marketing ability. And I was diving into books, I was diving into podcasts, I was diving into training materials online, paid and free. And I was also networking with like digital marketer in that circle. And late 2014, I became a digital marketer certified partner. I was one of the first 12. And now they have like 500 or some crazy number. And, you know, after that, it was just, there was growth. There was growth every single year. And last year, we even grew by 77% versus 2019. So we grew quite a bit last year even. And yeah, so that's my background. And now what I'm doing, this is exciting for me, because this is a big transition, and it's a new beginning. And there's definitely some adrenaline and some urgency and a little fear. And a little fear is a good thing, in my opinion. I like positive pressure. So I recently sold half of my company. So I had an agency that was focused on helping e-com businesses scale and grow using my ARM5 formula in a done for you and a done with you format. We have a done with you coaching program, and then we had a done for you agency services side as well. And fairly recently, I sold half my company to a partner, and he came on as well. He's now the COO of my company, and we've completely restructured the company. We're still in the middle of doing it, but we've done a lot of work already. But we're restructuring the company to scale our own e-com brands. Like, we have four brands in-house right now, and we're going to probably start some new ones at some point. We're probably going to look for some partners with some brands that just want our help, and they want to scale, and they want to sip pina coladas on the beach while we do that for them. And we've also got the coaching side of the business, which is, you know, really that's the flagship. That's really what we're focused on here in 2021 and beyond, is we just want to help as many people as possible really scale their e-com brands by using the ARM5 formula and working with me and my team directly. So this way they can, you know, break through any challenges or any problems that they're faced with, and they can see the results in their business just climb, you know, drastically versus the way they've been doing it up to that point. So now we're doing that, and we're just focused on, you know, scaling up our brands. So that brings us full circle to today.
Well, you know, it's great to hear the story, and it was interesting because the reason for this podcast is so you can pick up your kids when you want, you know, so you can do the things that you want and you don't have to be tied down. I couldn't work for anybody. I worked for a company slightly for less than a year, I think, and figured out that this was definitely not for me. And even though it has its ups and downs, it has its failures, I mean, you can get kicked between the legs pretty hard, but I wouldn't give it up for anything. And, you know, listening to what you did and how you're doing it and just kind of moving forward, you can move on a dime. When you're in a corporation, it's very hard to do. And the freedom to do what I can pick up. If you have the proper systems in place, I can pick up tomorrow and I can go away for 2 weeks. I have I was telling somebody yesterday, I have a special email because I'm doing this next week, except for the podcast. And it's for urgent emails only. I don't even check in. I don't look at any email. I don't look at anything. And that is, you know, why I love being an entrepreneur. I don't have to, you know, really talk to anybody. You know, I can grow it if I want. I can keep it small. I can do whatever I want. I know this is a little bit off topic, but I think it's an important topic to talk about, you know, for everybody. All right. Just before we get into some of the topics today, just remind everybody that there is a giveaway today. The giveaway is, if you want a consultation with me, I'm going to give away, you can ask me anything basically, for a 30-minute consult. And if you like that, if you want to tag two people, you'll get an extra entry. Also, at the end, we're going to be talking to you about Josh's free, incredible event that's coming up. And because it's free, guys, just like any, like, there's nothing to be made. I'm doing this because it's incredible. The list of people that you see on this event, you'll show it at the end, right? You're going to screenshot.
Yep, totally.
Some of the, yep. Yeah. So you can see what I'm talking about. All right. So let's get into today, building that brand, what people can do to scale it up, you know, 7-8 figures. A lot of people struggle at the beginning. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people shouldn't be in it at, you know, because they put in the wrong cash. They don't have the proper cash flow. And maybe it's time to not get in it for a couple of months until you do get the right cash flow. But for those people who have the cash flow, who want to grow their business, what can we do? What are some tips?
Yeah. You know, that's a great question. You know, so I'm going to give some tips from the like vantage point of, as if I'm trying to help someone that is fairly new, just getting started.
Perfect.
Hasn't hit 10,000 a month in revenue just yet. But they have, you know, like you said, they've got the cash, you know, to be able to invest in their business. Not a lot, you know, you don't need a lot to get started, but they've got some cash, you know, that they can really invest. They can, you know, put into their business and they can make some calculated risk with. So, you know, first off, I think it starts with, you know, you've got to have the right focus first and foremost. You need to keep e-com simple early on. You don't want to sell like a bunch of, you know, a catalog of products under the sun, you know, and you also don't want to do a bunch of different marketing efforts at the same time. You know, you really just want to keep it simple. You want to focus on paid ads and a good funnel with a good offer and some upsells and some downsells. That's it. That should be your primary focus when you're first getting started, really building your brand.
It sounds so easy.
It sounds easier than it is, but it's also easier to do that versus like, I'm going to do social media. You know, I'm going to do organic posts. I'm going to, you know, I don't know, you know, I can go on and on, but it's just, yeah, just focus on that, because the first challenge that any business has, doesn't matter if it's e-com or any other business. And I'm sure, you know, you could completely agree with this, Norm, is that it's all about predictability. That's really what it comes down to. That's the number one challenge, because once you have that predictability, that pressure just like eases, you know, off of your shoulders, and you don't feel like, oh no, you know, I gotta get customers. You're just like, okay, I've got a funnel, I'm driving ads, I'm getting the ads working, I'm getting the funnel working. That's all I'm focused on day to day. Because if that's your number one focus, then you're going to break through eventually. Like whether it's fast or whether it's a little bit slower, you're gonna get there. And so that should be like the number one thing that every e-com business owner should 100% focus on. Now, there's a lot that obviously goes into that. And I could really, really break down like, you know, different tips on just that aspect alone. For example, so advertising wise, like focus on one channel and do research on your markets versus the product that you're trying to sell, and identify which channel is the best number one channel to start with. Because this could vary. This could be Google ads. It could be Facebook ads. It may even be something completely outside of those main two ad channels possibly. And just laser focus on that one ad channel that gives you the biggest potential to be able to make sales based on the research that you do in your markets, based on what you're selling to that market as well. So that's number one. Number two, you know, really focus on your marketing is number one. Like, come up with, like, find out what your markets really cares about in relation to your product. And here's an easy tip. It takes a little work, but it's something so impactful. I just actually, you know, just had my team, and my team does this already, but sometimes I'm like, hey, we need to make sure we're doing this. And like yesterday, for example, I was like, okay, we've got this one brand that we've inherited. We need to kind of go back to the strategy a little bit. Let's compare and contrast and just make sure that our strategy is like really aligned with what gets people to buy these types of products. And here's how you can do that. So if you Google Amazon review mining, and you'll love this because it's Amazon related, but if you Google that and you go through that process, I believe it's on Copy Blogger's blog, and you go through that process, that's going to allow you to come up with a spreadsheet of qualitative information from the market directly and what's driven them to purchase a very similar product. And so you're basically like documenting, you know, all the pain points or all the direct benefits, all the things that got them to buy that product that they cared about that's in the reviews. So you're putting all that into a spreadsheet. And then this is the next step that most people don't know. After that, you then take it through a data analysis. And this is actually pulled directly from Ryan Levesque's Ask Method process, which, you know, Ryan was a mentor of mine for a good year. I learned a lot from him. And I'm, you know, again, very blessed and fortunate that I've been surrounding myself with some awesome people like Ryan. And the data analysis is going to help you really find out what are the top 3 to 5 hot buttons that get people to buy. Because those top 3 to 5, when you go through that data analysis, those are pulled directly from the hottest people based on their responses. And here's one of the variables that dictates that. If the review is a long review versus a short review, that's someone that's hot. That's someone that cares about that product and the result that that product does. And so those top 3 to 5 pain points, challenges that come out of that data analysis, it's attributed to the top 20% of the market. So that's like where to focus your marketing message on. And so once you have that, then you apply it. You apply it to, you know, your marketing across the board, your advertising, your sales funnel, you know, your product sales page you're driving traffic to, your upsells. You make sure that your messaging is using that data that you just researched and you just found. So this way you have really good, compelling messaging that's proven to work, proven to get people to take action, you know, based on you taking that data-driven step. So that's one tip. You know, and then another tip here is just when it comes to your funnel. First off, have a funnel. You know, don't just drive people directly to your homepage on your e-commerce site. It's a no-go. Don't do that. Drive them directly to a product sales page and make sure your ad is super relevant, super specific to that product. It's, you know, written really well. You've got good creative. Ideally, you know, you've got maybe some user generated content on the front end to really attract people, but you don't need that necessarily. You can get that in time and then add that to the campaign. But, you know, just really have like a good funnel that is fast, works well, uses conversion optimized elements such as, you know, just the layout really directing people to buy, good compelling messaging, good images throughout. It's a fast page. It loads very quickly, less than 3 seconds. And then you've got a good order form, ideally with some conversion elements such as, you know, your transaction's encrypted, put the guarantee on there. You should definitely have a guarantee in your product. Also, you know, maybe put like a limited quantities available and a countdown timer on that, you know, order form as well. Those are some. We've got a whole list that we go through, but those are some. And then have upsells that are one-click upsells and one-click downsells, and definitely have those, because when you're going to paid advertising, it's a numbers game. It's a math game. You need to make sure that your average order value exceeds your CPA, or at least breaks even, and then you can make money in your follow-up. if you can afford that as a business, obviously. So, but you definitely need to make sure you have really good upsells and downsells. And a tip on that too, just go hack some other competitors that are selling similar products. Go through their funnel, you know, buy their the same product that you're selling from them, and just see what the upsells and downsells that they're selling, especially if it's a very successful brand, because then you're finding out very like quickly what upsells and downsells are proven and tested, because this is a established brand that's successful, and you could see that. Or something you can do as well, which is Amazon related, is you can go to Amazon. You can go to the product that you sell in your business on Amazon or something very, very close to that, very similar, and see what other products that Amazon recommends. And then those are the perfect upsells to also add to your product mix to present in your upsell process. So I just gave a few tips there. Yeah. I could go on, but there you go.
No, I mean, that's great. For the on the funnel side, so just so, again, on the Amazon side, a lot of people don't even know what a funnel is. They haven't been exposed to that. So do you have any websites that they can do? We all know, well, a lot of us know ClickFunnels or any type of landing page site that people can learn very simple methods on how to use a funnel or a landing page.
That's a good question. You know, I would say, you know, the .com Secrets book by Russell Brunson is a really good kind of indoctrination into funnels. Mm-hmm. It really goes over different, you know, funnel formats, different strategies. You know, it does a really good job. I've read the book. It's a good book. I definitely would recommend that. Or if someone is not a reader necessarily, but they're, you know, more, they learn better with, you know, video type education. ClickFunnels, when you do sign up for ClickFunnels for $100 a month, they do give you access to some really good video educational tutorials on funnels. So that would be, you know, I would say probably like the best direction there is to just check out like Russell Brunson's education on funnels. You know, he's really done a really good job in just educating the masses on what funnels are, because yep. That's led to, you know, more and more people joining ClickFunnels and obviously becoming customers of his.
You also talked about copy and the importance of copy. I mean, it's critical. What do you recommend? I mean, so many people are not copywriters. They try, they might read a book, but that's something for me. I outsource, I 100% outsource. I am not a copywriter. Mm-hmm. So any tips on that?
Yeah. Well, it, you know, there's a number of tips, actually. I mean, from my experience, this is what I've done. And there's some newer stuff that I haven't even really dove into that I also will make mention of. But I've really been a, you know, it's funny. In my 20s, I didn't read a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And then becoming a business owner, I was reading like all the time. And I'm still reading. I was reading last night even. And I'm always listening to books or reading books. And it's just, it's cool that as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, that I've gone back to educating myself and being like a lifelong student. So anyway, you know, with that said, here are some books that I would definitely recommend. So No BS Direct Marketing by Dan Kennedy. That was one of the first like marketing copy books that I read back in 2014. And it's an incredible book. And actually the whole No BS series is an incredible series. I've read a few other books in the series too. That's a really good book. Another good book is .com Secrets, going back to that. There's a lot of copy tips in that. Also, you can also check out, this is a legendary book. This book, you can only get it from Titans Marketing right now. Brian Kurtz is republishing it. If you try to buy an original copy, you're going to spend like $300-$400 on it, which is crazy, but it's just such a good book. Breakthrough Advertising, which is, it's a very technical book. It's almost like a school book. But it's really, really just phenomenal. Like when you're going through it, if you're passionate about success with your marketing, when you're going through it, your brain is just like turning like fast. And you're just like, you're wanting to apply all the things that you're learning, because there's so many nuggets on every single page in that book. I mean, it's a really good book. So, I would recommend that maybe those three books for copy. You know, those books have been really impactful for me, you know, over the years.
All right. Let's talk about the, I was going to say do's and don'ts, but let's talk about the don'ts. What are some mistakes people make in copy? Oh, by the way, cheers.
Yeah. Hey, coffee's good. I love coffee. It's all about bulletproof coffee over here.
Oh, and actually, you know what? Bulletproof coffee.
I got to say, though, I chose this mug because of you today.
I can't read it. What does it say?
It says Whistler Blackcomb.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, you know, nice. Canada. I had to honor Canada, you know, by being on this show. So, so mistakes that people make is that they create messaging that is very bland. There's nothing super unique about it. And, you know, that actually feeds into another tip. So ideally, you want to try to find like a unique mechanism that is associated with your product or your brand. And this way, people, when they read your messaging in your ads, for example, or on your sales page, they think that or they see that your product or your brand is different from anything else out there. So that's one thing. Another thing too is that when people write copy, and I made this mistake years ago when I was first writing copy, and it took me a while to finally be like, okay, you know what, Josh, you need to get super laser focused on your messaging. You need to like really talk to like one person. And a lot of people, what they do with their messaging is they make it very broad, and they do it because, you know, they don't want to lose customer opportunities, you know, and they think that if they make it too specific, that they're going to miss out on getting sales. And that's not the right approach. I had that approach and that mindset at 1.2, but that's not the right approach. Like, you really need to tailor your messaging across all your marketing to like one specific avatar, especially early on. Like, over time, you can get a little bit more broad because you've carved out a niche. You're not a household name or an online name. And now you can go out to other avatars. You can have broader messaging, things like that. But early on, when you're really trying to get going and you're trying to really carve out some market share, you have to be very specific on who it is that you serve in your messaging. So you really want to think of one person in your marketing. So that's another thing. Another thing too is that, and this is a basic tip, but it's actually a very impactful tip. But a lot of times, a lot of people with their sales pages, for example, or even their ads, they'll do like bulky paragraphs. And you don't want to do that. Like, you just want to have a sentence, space structure. And the reason why is because it makes it very digestible, you know, very, very easy to consume. And you want each sentence to really communicate whatever you're trying to get that sentence to communicate in the simplest way possible. And so that gives you the opportunity when you're taking that approach to really go through each sentence and just basically be a perfectionist and just really make sure that each sentence is making the point that you want that sentence to make in the most simplest way possible. But that, you know, that there's a number of benefits to having that type of approach. So those are a few tips when it comes to, like, you know, copy and, you know, creating copy that actually gets you guys results.
What about, used to see it a lot. Everybody was teaching at one point, make it look like you're doing it from your cell phone. So you get the email on your desktop and it's, you know, that very short, I don't know how many characters across. Does that still work?
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
So all it was it, I'm not sure which course I took on this, but anyways, very well-known person was saying 2 or 3 years ago, you got to make it look like you're doing it from your mobile phone, like it's a quick message. So you'd have 4 or 5 paragraphs, maybe at max, but they would be the width of your mobile phone. So when you received it on your desktop, it looked like it came from somebody just typing away a quick message on your mobile phone so people would engage with it. And I'm just wondering, have you used that, and does that still work?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard that specifically, but you do want to make sure that everything that you create is really designed for mobile first, for sure. You know, your pages, when you create pages, you need to really, you know, review your mobile experience, make sure your mobile experience is super, you know, strong, smooth, easy to read, you know, big enough fonts, you know, et cetera. And then your emails, you know, same thing. Luckily, most email providers have evolved over the years and are mobile first now. So when you create an email, whether it's a manual broadcast or whether it's a automated campaign, usually they're formatted for mobile automatically, which is great. So, yeah. So that's my feedback in regards to that.
Very good. Just a quick note on another book. I just see that a couple of people are putting in books there. If you're looking at a brand book, it's just kind of fun. Jeff Sass has been on the podcast before, very, very savvy brand guy. Anyways, he used to work for, what's the B film company? Yeah, everything I learned from the, everything I learned about marketing was from the Toxic Avenger. Anyways, we have a link to it in his podcast. It is really great. Anyway, a couple things. First of all, just a quick note, smash those like buttons. If you like what you hear right now, hit or ring those bells, whatever Kelsey says. And also we've got a contest going. It's hashtag I want Norm for a 30-minute consultation. The other thing is, anybody in the audience, if you have questions about copy, like what do you feel about your copy skills? Do you do this all yourself? Do you feel that you should outsource it? Also, are you diving deep to make sure that you are targeting the right audience? Because what Josh is saying can save you a ton of money. And oh, by the way, Josh, Rand Fiskin was on the other day from Moz, co-founder of Moz. Now, he's got this really cool app called Spark Toro. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you got to check it out. I've talked about it a few times. It really kind of shows who the influencers or who the people are listening to in your demographic. And it kind of pulls together. He hated when I said personas, but it kind of does, so you kind of can dig a little bit deeper to understand who's listening or who do you want to target. So nice. It's called Spark Toro. So
I'll check it out.
If you want to check it out. Yeah. Okay. So talking about brand for a second, what's the importance of having a unique brand that nobody else can replicate?
Oh, that's a good question. It's super important for sure. It's not the first thing you should focus on when you're establishing your e-com business. You want to focus more on direct response marketing, not brand marketing, because that's what's going to get you results. It's going to get you to that predictability level as fast as possible. But brand is definitely important for sure. My take on brand is that, you really want to make sure that you are really bring people in and bring them through a very compelling story. And I saw this flash recently, earlier in the episode here, someone mentioned Story Brand by Donald Miller, which is a great book. I'm actually going through it myself right now. But I would definitely recommend that, you really put yourself in the minds of the prospect and move them through a journey. Like, we've been mapping out journeys for years. So when it comes to implementing a journey in your e-commerce business, you really want to make sure that, you're covering all the steps. You're going from attention, awareness, to engagement, to subscribe, to conversion, to delivering a great customer experience, to ascension, to advocate, and then promote. Those are the steps of the customer value journey. And you really want to make sure that you have that journey 100% repped in your e-commerce business. So this way, people, when they buy, they remember you and they also become brand advocates. And on top of that, as a business, you're giving yourself as much opportunity as possible to maximize your customer lifetime value, which in my opinion is the number one metric of every e-commerce business. Besides that, part of the ARM 5 formula actually really focuses on brand, because brand is important, especially when it comes to getting the best performance out of your advertising. Early on, when you're first advertising, you don't really need to worry about brand. But once you get to a point where you're spending, there's not a hard figure here, but let's just say that you're spending, $20,000 to $50,000 per month on ads at minimum. Once you get to that point, having brand marketing and direct response marketing as well, repped in your ad strategy, really makes a big impact. You can't directly measure it necessarily, but once you start doing brand advertising and direct response advertising in the same ad account, you'll see like a difference in your performance. Your performance will raise. You won't see it in like the analytics, how it's happening, but it's just happening. And that, it's just because the fact that there's a few different reasons for it. For one, let's just talk about Facebook. And, you know, as some people know, you know, this is a book that I published last year. So Facebook, they want to keep people on the platform. So they award advertisers when advertisers are showing content, not just offer. And so one pillar of the ARM5 formula is creating authority, which is all about creating invaluable content that the market that you're targeting will value and care about. And then you want to also use advertising to get people to go to that content. So you want to create basically like blog articles with hot topics that you've researched that your market cares about. And then you want to amplify that content's attention by using ads to get those people to go to your site and to consume that content. What you're doing when it comes to Facebook, for example, is you are reducing your cost per click, because content ads are always going to be super cheap versus offer ads, 100%. And so that first click now gets reduced quite a bit. Now you're just retargeting to get them to become a lead and a customer. And that's going to reduce your cost per lead and your cost per customer by doing that. And that's a brand play, though, because when people get that content and they consume it and they get that value from you and your brand, they're much more receptive to offers you're going to make them in the customer value journey process. So that's what I, you know, that's my opinion on brand. And then also on top of that, you know, you want to have like a strong voice. You know, you don't want to have a bland, generic voice. If you have opinions, you need to say those opinions, you know, as a brand, you know, and you do want to attract people to you, and you also want to detract people from you as well. And you can't be afraid of doing that. And that's going to help your brand marketing too. Like, we just published a case study where we took a company from about, I can't remember the exact numbers without looking it up, but it was like 650,000 in a year to 1.48 in a year. We worked with this company for a year. And one thing that they did that we helped them do really, really well was their voice. Like, their voice was unique in the space. And it was, you know, tongue in cheek. It was, you know, there was some humor, and they were providing value. They were following the ARM5 formula because we helped them do that. And they saw, you know, significant results when we did good brand marketing on top of good direct response marketing as well, in their ads and their funnels on their website and their follow-up processes, et cetera. So you do have to have, in my opinion, it helps at least to have a very unique voice, because that really carves out a position in the market that other people can't touch. So there's a few tips.
All right. Here's something that's kind of timely. Should a brand get involved with controversial topics?
If don't fake it. If you definitely care about those topics, then yeah, absolutely, for sure. I mean, because, you know, people buy from people, and when there's controversial topics out there that you do care about, you know, you should communicate that, you know, in your brand, in your messaging, for sure. And that's going to bring people to you that are passionate also about that topic, that also want what you offer in your business. And those people that you can communicate with, you could have conversations with, you know, through marketing, and want to buy your product, those are going to be your best customers. Those are going to be your brand advocates, your brand ambassadors. So you absolutely want to do that.
Very good. Now, we talked about this. We just touched on it with the funnel. So upsell, downsell, cross-sell. I talked to Charles, you know, Charles Livingston.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Dr. Charles told me about this, and my mouth kind of dropped, how he took his single order value from next to nothing. It was a single bottle, to upsell it. And I think he upsold, and then he downsold, and he came back with a cross promotion, which ended up being a subscription for the product. And he brought it, I think, don't quote me, from around $30-$40 up to $60 up to $130 some odd dollars. don't quote me on the number, but it was just, it was 2-3 times the amount just by going through a very simple upsell, downsell, cross sell platform.
Definitely.
It's great.
Yep.
And there's lots of tools out there. Like, let's say we're using Shopify. Can you recommend an app that does that well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. For sure. The two top picks that we use internally, depending on the business, is Zipify, One Click Upsell, and then also Carthook.
Oh yeah. So Zipify is Ezra's, right?
Correct.
Ezra Firestones. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yep. Carthook, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah. You know, and actually we might, you know, right up to this point, Zipify One Click Upsell has been like our top tech tool for upsells and downsells. However, we are currently more strongly assessing Carthook than ever before, because one nice thing about Carthook is that you can actually use Carthook order forms, and you can customize those order forms, and you can add in those elements that I mentioned earlier in the episode to get higher conversions on your order form. And without having that, you have to use Shopify's order form, which you cannot customize unless you're paying $2,000 a month for Shopify Plus, which most people won't do, you know? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. So we're actually really digging in deep on Carthook right now, and we may start making Carthook our number one recommendation, also our number one upsell tool.
Wow. Okay, very good. Now, there's been questions. Your time, we never got to talk about this. Are you a hard stop at one?
No, I'm good. I'm flexible.
Okay. Well, we won't go much past that, but I just noticed that there's some questions that have come in, Kels.
Yep. Okay. So let's see. Our first question, we'll do Marsha's. It's hard to outsource copy when one wrong word can get us in trouble with EPA or FDA. We have to be extra careful to take out any powerful words. Any suggestions?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you know, you really, let me see. So, well, for one, I mean, if you're in a highly regulated market, you know, you should have someone that's seasoned to review your messaging and your copy before it goes live. You know, whether that's a highly seasoned, highly experienced copywriter that understands how to go through regulations and can really make sure that your copy meets those regulations, or you get a lawyer involved and have a lawyer go through your messaging, go through your copy, compare it to the regulations in the industry you're in before you go live.
Yeah, I wouldn't give this to somebody you outsource for $2 an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, and I saw your message. So we do have a time about one-ish to end. Do you want to share your screen, Josh?
Sure.
Go over your front.
Obviously, because I wasn't listening.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all good. You know, I got to say, you know, I saw a picture of both of you guys smoking cigars, I think, in the front of your house.
Oh, yeah.
And I really love seeing that, though. You know, it was like, because, you know, I have a son, he's 12. I mean, obviously he's way too young to smoke cigars, but
chocolate cigars.
Yeah, right. But it was just cool to see that, because, like, you know, at some point I would love to have a similar moment, you know, with my kid. So I just got to say, I just love that you guys work together on business, and, you know, you guys share moments like that, and you can share moments like this. And, you know, I really admire that. I just want to say that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
even though he buys me really cheap cigars, it's
hey, it's a thought that counts,
right? White counts. Owls. Exactly. All right. Okay, all right. So here is the event that's coming up.
Correct. Yep. Yep. So big event. We've got some awesome speakers. I mean, all these speakers all together. I mean, this is just an estimate off the top of my head, but I know that. Altogether, there's probably like 1 billion plus in sales repped from all these speakers. I mean, you know, just Kevin Hill on the bottom here alone, he's generated over 400 million in sales. I mean, you know, Ryan Levesque has generated tons of sales through his own brands, plus his coaching that he's done in the Ask Mythic community. I mean, I can go on and on, but we've got a ton of people here. You know, Stefan Georgi, another experienced, seasoned, successful copywriter. He's been responsible for over 500 million in sales. He publicizes this. So we've got some incredible, you know, people presenting in the summit. And what I've done is, you know, I wanted this to really be about scaling to 7-8 figures. And I wanted to give attendees like proven, tested, step-by-step actionable strategies or processes. And so when I reached out to all these people and got them to speak, I said, hey, for you to speak, you have to share one proven strategy or process. It's been proven, it's been tested, and you got to teach it in a step-by-step way. So this way, people that are watching your session can take that and they can use it and they can apply it and then get immediate results in their e-commerce business. So I've got 28 of those now. So that's what the Ecom Scaling Secrets Summit is all about. It's all about helping e-commerce businesses apply proven, tested strategies from all these experts that they can apply to their business and get immediate results in their business.
Yeah, and the price tag is...
Oh, yeah, it's free. Yeah,
it's free. I know. So, yeah, talk about value.
Yep.
Now, are you recording any of it?
Yeah, I am. We actually have a upgrade offer that people can take advantage of. And right now, it's an early bird offer prior to the summit starting, so they can save the most money if they do it right away. But if they take the upgrade, they'll get access to the recordings for life. They'll get access to several books as well, like John Lee Dumas just published The Common Way to Uncommon Success. And it's a bestseller already. And everybody that upgrades gets a copy of that book for free as a bonus. Plus, they get a copy of my book as a bonus. And they also get a copy of Corey Trevino's here as well, which is a really good book. And we even have some unannounced bonuses. We're probably going to get around $500 to $1,000 worth of additional bonuses. And these are going to be like offers that the speakers are going to submit as free bonuses to anybody that upgrades to VIP. We always do this. We've done a few of these summits and, you know, leading up to the summit, we start making those announcements to really excite people. So there's going to be a lot of value delivered on that upgrade offer for sure.
Very good. All right. Now, how many questions do we have, Kels? Just so kind of...
We have quite a few, but I think we do have a cutoff time today.
Well, here, you know, let me, I've got, it's not like a, let me reach out to someone because do you guys know who Ray Perez is?
I don't.
Okay. Yeah, he's a branding expert. He runs a brand marketing agency. He's published a book. I can't remember the title of the book. It's a really catchy title, but he said, I think the title of his book is like Your Branding Should Be Gay or something like that. So it's a very catchy title, but I've just got a call with him. You know, we're just talking about helping each other in some way. Yep. So let me reach out to him and just see if I can push it back a little bit.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
So while Josh is doing that, just a quick reminder that this event is running from the 19th to the 21st. It's free. Check it out. We're going to put the link in the comments section. And also, if you have any questions to throw them in, we might not get to them because it sounds like we have quite a few, but we will put them into the group. Okay, so I got a cigar cough coming up.
Also, we do have our AirPod contest happening right now. Yep. You can go over to our Instagram, Norm Farrar, and you just follow the link in the bio. That's probably the easiest way to do it. I also added it to the descriptions here and on the YouTube, Facebook page. So check that out, as well as for the Beard Nation members in our Facebook group. We have our exclusive beard contest with Norm and I. We're giving away an hour consultation. Just make sure you follow
That's each, by the way.
Yeah, each. So make sure you follow the instructions. It's pinned to the top of the group. You do need to use the hashtag and follow the instructions to be entered. And yeah, so head over there if you're interested in that. And yeah.
Who's cool. That Tim right. Jordan guy, by the way? Jeez, Mark. We want substance. Tim's my partner in Private Label Legion.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
All right. So you're clear?
Yeah, I'm clear. I can go over a little bit. It's all good.
So let's get to these questions.
All right. So taking Marsha's point further, how do you find a copywriter that will match your brand story?
I think, was it C? I think C meant brand message, like brand, a communication, basically. That's a good question. First off, let me address it this way first. So it, as a business owner, you do have to have some patience though, because no copywriter is going to ever jump in and just get it from day one. Like, it's going to take back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, for a copywriter to get it and get it consistently. So that's my first, advice when it comes to finding a copywriter. You really want to approach working with a copywriter with that mindset and just know it takes a little time. Like just last week, I've got a ghostwriter in house, that she does a great job. But there's things I have to edit a little bit more frequently that I would like. And so I gave her some feedback and, went over, did a basically like a coaching call with her. And now she's like really communicating copy in a way that I would. And again, it just takes time because she's been working with me for some time. So that's the first thing. And so just know that no copywriter and no team member, no marketing professional is going to replicate you at 100%. They're always going to replicate you at 80%, not 100%. And so what I recommend that, someone does when they're working with a copywriter is they have a good quality assurance process for one. If you're involved with it, ideally, because it's your voice, and you review, you make some light edits, and then you approve, and then you use that, that copy. I definitely recommend that you have, that process and be okay with it, because again, nobody's going to 100% duplicate the way you communicate in your marketing. They'll get better and better over time, but they're never going to be at 100% ever. So that still saves you a ton of time, because creating the copy from the ground up, that's hard sometimes, because you it's a totally different part of your brain that you're stretching, moving from science to art, and trying to create copy and writing from the ground up, that's challenging. I've written 3,000, 4,000 word essays once a week for a year, year and a half in my MBA program. And every single time I had to get on the computer and I had to start writing, it was always hard, always hard. And even now, still, I'm a little bit quicker now, but even now I have moments where it's just really hard to like sit there and create copy from the ground up. So the copywriter is still giving you a ton of value and a ton of impact by them handling it from the ground up. Because as a CEO, as a business owner, your time should be treated with the mindset of, I need to focus on 10,000 per hour activities that really move the needle in my business, and copy, that's something that you can delegate out that's worth less than that. So that's the first tip. Besides that, have a really good questionnaire that the copywriter you hire goes through. So part of our process, for example, when we were working with the agency, and again, we've just kind of closed the agency and converting it over right now, but we would always have clients go through this really deep, detailed questionnaire when it comes to their copy and their messaging. And so ideally, who you hire to do your copy should have a very similar process. And that shows you that they have, that they're a step beyond a lot of the copywriters out there. They're not just trying to jump in and do work. They're really doing their research. They're really doing their upfront work before they actually put pen to a paper or start, typing. So you want to make sure that any copywriter that you work with has like a really good like process, indoctrination process to really get you and understand you and the messaging that you want your brand to portray through them. So those are my tips.
Yeah, looking for perfection, you'll always be looking. And the other thing too, Jeff, again, going back to Jeff Sass's podcast, what he does with his brands, huge brands, but he creates a real brand story, like a story book about the brand. And he gives that out to people so they understand, at least they can go through this 5-page, book completely from the brand, what it is. And he makes it into a storybook. It's really kind of cool what he does, But that gives, you know, a message of what the brand's all about. And then, you know, you can fill in the rest, you know, get on the call. And but yeah, it's so important that you don't expect perfection.
Totally. Yep. And it takes a lot of internal work. You know, it takes a lot of self-coaching. I mean, you know, I haven't always been, and I'm still not perfect at it. I still have moments of impatience. But when I was younger, in my 20s, I was like hardcore. Just didn't know how to communicate feedback well sometimes. And I would make people cry. And but you know, I've learned a lot, you know, since then. That was my early corporate leadership experience. And, you know, since then, you know, I grew quite a bit, you know, both in corporate and also outside of corporate. And, you know, you definitely have to work on, you know, how you communicate with team members and copywriters to deliver the message in a way that is taken the right way and also applied the right way.
Great. Next question.
Okay. This is from Andres. Question about copy. When selling across multiple international marketplaces, besides the language, of course, should the copy psychology be changed to target that market? For example, USA versus Germany?
Yes, definitely. But test first, you know, you don't need to get it perfect. You just need to get going. So if you have something that works really well in, say, the US, and you want to now test it in Germany to English speakers, then put it out there first, see how it's received, see how the performance is. And then from there, assess if you need to make some changes. And then one of those changes may be that you need to research, you know, Germany and, you know, how they receive, you know, what some of their communication tropes are. And then, you know, test that in new variations of whatever copy you're trying to test in that specific market.
You can see that I live in Canada. So a message in Toronto would not sell in Montreal. It's such a different, like French and English is so different. So just imagine a whole new country.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, you know, instead of you handling it, you should just hire a copywriter out of that country and just have them and make sure, of course, that they, you know, can read English and but also speak German, for example, right. And have them go through, you know, your copy, your messaging and write a variation to that. And then that could be like the new sales page that you test to the German market in that example.
Okay, next great. Skills.
So just checking in with you, Josh, are you good for time still? Or?
I'm good.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Okay, so this is a bit of a big question, but how do you find the right target audience? What factors do you consider?
Lots of research. Yeah, it's a pretty loaded question, but lots of research. I mean, you really have to research who buys your product. You know, I mentioned the Amazon review mining process earlier. That's one good process to follow. There's a lot of other different processes too that you could also go through. You could do you know, SimilarWeb on competition and see what demographics, you know, go to that site more often. That is going to help you define your audience. You could also pull reports. For example, if you have an email list. And most people, when they ask this question, they don't. But if let's just say that you start a business, you've got an email list or you buy an email list and you think this is the market that's going to love your product, you can go to like Tower Data and you can submit that email list to Tower Data, and then towerdata.com will push back a bunch of demographic and psychographic data on an email list. So there's another way you could do it too. But, you know, a lot of it comes down to, I mean, you want to take those research steps. But that doesn't necessarily guarantee success. That's just going to increase the probability of success early on. Either way, you're going to have to test. Like you're going to have to test, and you're going to learn through testing who the right target audience is. And you do that by, you know, testing, you know, in your, for example, ad campaigns, testing multiple audiences, and really comparing and contrasting and seeing what audiences are working out best after you have enough data in an ad campaign. And you just continue to go through that process of really testing new audiences and trying to really drill down who the right target audience is. So there's my feedback.
Excuse me. One thing I'd like to add to that, especially for the reviews, a really quick down and dirty way to do this is get the helium 10 extract or helium 10 Chrome extension and use Review Extractor. And what it'll do is it'll just download all the reviews, and it'll show you what keywords and key phrases people are using in the reviews. And that gives you a quick and down and dirty way to take a look at your competitive analysis.
Nice, nice. Good old Kevin, right? So he's a, yeah, Kevin King. He's a, he's the king of Amazon. One of the kings.
He is. We that's how we describe him. He's a regular on the podcast, and yeah, we like Mr. King. We actually have our mascot. Where is he? Kevin the dog. He's the cigar smoking dog.
That's awesome.
All right. So we have one last question. It's a bit based on Amazon side of things, but people say that the way to truly differentiate in a niche is to either provide value or a greater customer experience. I get the value part, not price, but how does customer experience work on Amazon?
Well, it's an Amazon question.
Yeah. And that's especially if it's a recurring product. Like if you can get somebody to buy the product, and first of all, customer experience starts right at the get-go. But if you can get somebody who receives that product and they open it up, and first of all, the package is incredible. There might be a message. It looks like there's quality. The perceived value goes, you know, up. So they're willing to pay more for it. And it's so easy to build a loyal customer base if it's quality. You know, if you take a look at some really crappy stuff, like I talked to somebody the other day that was doing some product that was just a regular bottle like this. Okay. Put it into a beautiful box. And all of a sudden you can double what you're selling. When the person gets it, they see that experience. They're going to remember your brand and they're going to go back and do those reorders. That's a very simple explanation of it, but customer experience right from the get-go, everything quality. I mean, if it's a plastic shoe stretcher, do some nice pictures, you know, optimize your listing. Everything else kind of falls into place. But you know, if you do want to build your brand, it's consistency, and it's right from the get-go, from your e-com to your social, the content that you, if you write crappy content, your customer experience will go down. So it's keeping everything the way your brand message wants to be seen. Hopefully that answers the question.
No, that was great. That was spot on.
Okay, that's it for the questions, all right. I believe.
Okay, so I guess that leads us to the Wheel of Kelsey.
Okay, here we go. Just give me 1 second.
It's time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
The Wheel of Kelsey.
We didn't have the Wheel of Kelsey the last time you were on, right, John?
No, I know. No, I love it though. I love the production value here.
It's easily over $50. So it's here we go. So I think I got everyone. This is for a 30-minute consult with Norm. I'll give this a shuffle. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Who's it gonna be?
Is it? Okay, Rad.
Oh, all right, Rad.
Nice.
Okay, so how do they claim their time?
So, Rad, if you can just email me at kate@lunchwithnorm.com, I'll be able to connect you with Norm.
All right. Now, and, Josh. Let's just talk about the event again. So It's Ecom Scaling Secrets Summit, and that's on April the 19th to the 21st. If people want to attend that or get the ticket, where do they go?
Yeah. So we need to get a short link for this so I can make this easy. But
there we go.
Is the link? Can we put the link in the chat?
Yeah, Kelsey just did. There we go.
Perfect. Yeah. So I'm. links out on all the different platforms. Perfect, and the name of the summit is, if people want to search it.
Yep. If they e-com scaling secret summit, it'll come up. So if you type that in, but yeah, we've got, you know, 28, as I mentioned earlier, 28 guest experts, really speaking and teaching and showing actionable, proven, tested strategies and processes that have already generated results for them that can also generate results for anybody attending. It's 3 days of just lots of value. But the nice thing about the way we have everything formatted as well is that even if you register just for the free and you don't upgrade, you have access to each session for 72 hours from the time it goes live. So you'll have time to fit it into your schedule, no matter what your schedule looks like, from April, you know, 19th through the 21st, and, you know, all the way till the 23rd, because you have 72 hours of access. So yeah, it's a, you know, great event. Definitely very, you know, blessed and fortunate to have so many great speakers speaking on all sorts of different topics. You're going to hear from people talking about analytics and really understanding analytics and actually implementing actions based on analytics. You're going to hear about copy and how to create copy that compels and converts from, you know, a few rock stars in the copywriting world when it comes to e-commerce. You're going to hear from people that are going to be teaching social media activities that lead to massive results. You're going to hear from people that teach YouTube ads, Google ads, Facebook ads, operations. I mean, we've got definitely some phenomenal people here. I mean, I can go on and on, but influencer marketing is repped here as well. Email marketing, retention, so this way you can get your customers to keep coming back and keep spending more money. Those are all, you know, various topics that are going to be shared, you know, in the summit. So it's, yeah, it's a great event. It's going to be awesome. We're going to deliver a ton of value. So definitely check it out. It's free to register. And I definitely recommend that, you know, you grab a ticket. So this way you don't miss out on this incredible free opportunity.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. Josh, thank you for spending a few extra minutes with us as well, but, you know, always a pleasure having you on the podcast. And good luck with the event that's coming up next week. And we will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. All right, everybody. So that's it for today's special podcast. And coming up tomorrow, who do we have tomorrow? It's
Michael Kurtz.
Mike, that's right. Michael Kurtz. And that's going to be an interesting one, too. So he's going to be talking about, what was it? How to make your brand pop. I think that's what we're going to be talking about. So I've talked to Michael in the past. He's got some really great information about stuff that's not, you know, usually discussed, about how you can get your brand to pop, to grab consumers' attention. So stay tuned tomorrow. I think that's probably it, right? Except for, if you like the podcast today, smash some like buttons. I know I'm taking Kelsey's job, but smash those like buttons, ring those bells, subscribe. And don't forget, Kelsey, there's two contests coming up, right?
That's right. So there's two contests. I just posted the link again. This is our AirPod contest. Click on the link and it takes us to a place where you enter your email. Basically, the more places you share it to, the more entries you get. So great opportunity here. This is for everyone. It's also available on the Instagram bio. So just go to Norm's Instagram. That's the easiest way to get the link as well. And I also posted in the Facebook group. It's posted everywhere. So highly recommend you check that out if you want AirPod Pros, as well as we have our exclusive Lunch with Norm contest in the group. This is a separate contest. This is for an hour consultation with Norm and me. Separately, so you get an hour prize consultation with us. So all the rules, how to enter, everything is in your Facebook group, in the Facebook group. It's pinned to the top. You'll see it. I also make a video again today explaining how to enter if some people don't know and they're not understanding. So, all yeah. Right.
Okay. So join us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this special episode of Lunch with Norm. Thank you for being part of the community, and enjoy the rest of your day.
entrepreneur.